This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio. And if you are a regular listener, you know that our mission is preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And one of the ways that God has shown us through the years of helping is creating a safe space and a safe place for people to be able to share our stories. Not just women affected by abortion, but men. And not just the women and men directly affected, but the children, the grandparents, the many, many individuals who are always impacted by every single abortion. And when I started telling the truth about my experience of abortion way back in 2001, there weren't many who were speaking out, and generally I was doing that in church settings or in settings where it was going to be a friendly venue for a message like that. But things have so changed in recent years. And in the last couple of years in particular, there has been a move to normalize abortion. There have been grassroots campaigns like One in Three, which some say that's a dubious statistic, that there's no way to really project that one in three women has had an abortion, but that number is used a lot to talk about the scope of the problem. And there are also individual things that will pop up from time to time. And this time we're going to talk about the Shout Your Abortion campaign, which we've mentioned before. But I think it's worthy of continuing the conversation because when this thing first started in mid-September, there was the goal from the woman who created this Twitter campaign to normalize abortion and to stop whispering about it and hence Shout Your Abortion on social media. Her name is Amelia Bono, and she was trying to stand up for Planned Parenthood because the Planned Parenthood undercover videos had been continued to roll out all since the month of July, and they were getting a lot of attention, and there was a lot of backlash against abortion as a result. And joining us to talk about this trend is someone who's uniquely positioned to really give us a great perspective on it. We're going to welcome tonight to Cradle My Heart Radio, Brianna Stensrud, Focus on the Family's Director of the Sanctity of Life and Community Care Departments. And Brianna was formerly with Thomas Nelson doing Lifeway events for women of faith, and she's really got a heart for this issue. Brianna, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, as you've noted, when Shout Your Abortion started trending on Twitter, it was all about I'm not sorry for my abortion. Set the stage for those who haven't been following this story, who don't really know, you know, what really happened in the beginning.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, Lindy West, who is a writer, and her friend Amelia Bono, they had both had a dialogue about a Facebook post that Amelia had written about how abortion is whispered about, and if you've had an abortion, it's something that you have a shame and stigma about and you don't really talk about. And so Lindy came up with the Shout Your Abortion hashtag, and instantly hundreds of thousands of people started using the hashtag and sharing how they didn't want to stay silent about their abortion. A lot of those tweets were very harsh in language. A lot of that communicated strong women rights. It communicated a pro-choice stance about abortion, absolutely, for sure. But one of the sad things that came out of that was folks started to really pounce on these women who were shouting their abortion. And there wasn't a compassionate tone that really came out towards these women. And I think as believers, we have to come from a worldview and a mindset that understands that behind every single abortion is a woman who's experienced the evil of abortion and the brokenness of abortion. And people who are in the abortion industry, women who have had an abortion, they'll tell you that abortion wasn't what they namely wanted to do. It wasn't their first choice. It wasn't a choice that they enjoyed making. It was a choice that they felt like they had to make for the most part. And so, you know, whether they felt like they were inadequate to be a mom, whether it was bad timing, whether they felt shame for getting in a situation that they shouldn't have, all of these women who are using this hashtag have a story. All of them come from somewhere, a place of hurt. And so this was an outlet given to them to say, you don't have to stay in the shadows. And as the church, we should be providing that outlet of, you can come out of the shadows because there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And so, unfortunately, there were hashtags that said, shout your murder, criticizing these women. But then, again, on the other side, there were some really positive things that came out of it. There were hashtags that started that said, shout your life and shout your adoption and shout your joy, and some of these hashtags that came about. So we've seen some real positives and some negatives since this has come about the last couple weeks.
We're talking with Brianna Stensrud from Focus on the Family and their Sanctity of Life department. And, you know, Brianna, I agree that there needs to be a place for people to talk safely about abortion. What I think a lot of people might have been reacting to was the unapologetic, unrepentant, defiant tone of a lot of these tweets. And I think what people may not understand is that in the short term, some of the people have almost compared it to Stockholm syndrome, you know, where you begin to sympathize with your captors once you're kidnapped and even abused or harmed, is that a lot of women in the short term, because of the trauma of abortion, will very, very vocally defend it. And if that is what is happening, they may not see it as such, and they may become very offended that you would suggest such a thing. But it's something that I observed in myself. I mean, I didn't become rabidly pro-choice, but I definitely occupied that position after I chose abortion at age 23. I was very quiet about it. I usually excused myself from a conversation if it came up. I was definitely ashamed and wanting to. Whispering about it wasn't even a possibility. But right. I would say, well, I'm pro-choice because, you know, I can't tell people what to do. And that also was based out of guilt. It's, you know, being such a wretch myself, I can't tell anyone what to do. And I think that, you know, as the idea that we could normalize abortion by somehow pretending it didn't hurt us or that it doesn't matter is a problem at the base of Shout Your Abortion. And I love that you have, you know, this warning for us as church that we have to be compassionate. But let's talk about speaking the truth in love. If someone discloses an abortion to you, and they seem to have no emotional reaction, how best to handle that in the short term?
Yeah, I think that's a difficult one, because if someone confides in you that they've had an abortion, there can be one of two avenues that they're coming from. Either they don't regret it because they have hidden that down and they don't necessarily want to feel that, or they don't perceive to feel that. And then others have confided in you because they feel a deep sense of shame and they feel a deep sense of loss. So I think at the root of all of that, we know that abortion is taking the lives of innocent children. That is the truth of the matter. These Planned Parenthood videos have really pulled back the veil on the evil of abortion and what that does, and really what those procedures are, and that it really is a life. And so anytime anyone is involved in any kind of evil like that, whether they knew it or not, whether they bought the lie of abortion or not, or they fully were aware of what they were doing, because that's not God's intended plan for them or design for them, there is a brokenness coming from that person. And so coming from the mindset of compassion and love towards that person, if someone's advocating for abortion, I definitely think there's absolutely no reason why you can't advocate and why you shouldn't advocate for the truth of what abortion is and the harmful effects that it has, not only on the life, we're killing life, but also on the mother, on the father, on the family that is missing out on that potential life. But also we need to just keep in mind that with truth comes grace as well. And so we need to keep in mind that the Father is like that with them and handle these women with truth, but then with also with care, because this is coming from a very broken place.
Hmm. So, and as we think about that, I of course, join my heart with yours in saying it's off limits for anyone to say you had an abortion, you murdered. It's just not okay. It's just not okay. You know, my husband and I, for a lot of years, did prison ministry together. And, of course, the first thing you want to know when you're confronted with an individual person inside prison is, why are you here? But that's
right,
the one
right.
question that when they train you, you may not ask. It simply isn't okay. And so I affirm what you have said, that abortion takes the life of an innocent human being. By God's definition, that's absolutely murder. But you may not say it to someone because we just can't do that as God's people.
It's
we need to speak the truth
at
in
that
love.
Point because the person has already had the abortion. And so you can speak the truth about it, absolutely, but just realize that that person has experienced a level of brokenness that does not need to be shamed. I mean, someone might be, according to these hashtags, some of these women are proud of that, but we know deep down that there's a brokenness there, and that one of the reasons why they're wanting to shout their abortion is because they are feeling confined in the shame and the stigma. And it's not that they shouldn't be convicted that they have done such a thing. That's not it at all. I mean, there are consequences to the sin that we live in our lives. That's definitely going to happen. But it is not our job to be the Holy Spirit for those women. It is our job to love them as Jesus would, to say yes. I mean, there was a life taken there, and what do we do about that? We go to the Father, and we ask for his forgiveness for taking that life. We go to the Father. I mean, the language, the extreme language that's being used is mostly unhelpful when trying to move people from a pro-choice to a pro-life perspective. It's very rare that anyone's heart is changed by being scalded or yelled at. Really, what God wants is to enter into that person's heart and soften them. It's going to be very difficult for the pro-life movement or anybody who is pro-life to convince anybody that's pro-choice that we are, in fact, pro-life if we are not giving dignity and respect to someone who's experienced the brokenness of the pro-choice promise. So, you know, one of the sad things that's come out of this hashtag is that the creator of it, Amelia, she has actually had to go into hiding because of death threats to her at her home. And I think if we are truly pro-life, how can we threaten this woman's life? Because every life is made in the dignity and value of the image of God. And so being pro-life doesn't mean that we're just about saving the preborn. It means that we care about the mother of that child. We care about the father of that child. We care about any child that is waiting for a home in foster care. We care about those orphans that are around the globe. We care about preventable death and disease. We care about end-of-life issues. We care about special needs. We care about life, that comprehensive pro-life ethic, that worldview. So you can't say that that preborn life is more important than the woman's life. They're equally important and deserve dignity and respect and value and have worth in the eyes of the Father. And so if we claim to be pro-life, we need to be pro-life towards that mother as well and be just as loving to her as we would be to that child. Mm-hmm. The ends don't justify the means.
Well, and I think, Brianna, not only is it not helpful to the woman who is suffering, whether or not she appears to be suffering, but it's also extremely unhelpful to the pro-life cause. Because,
absolutely.
For example, when the one of the undercover videos was taken inside a National Abortion Federation convention, and because the reporters had signed a non-disclosure agreement, that was the restraining order over that video not being released. And the pretext or the premise of the court order, the restraining order, was, you know, it's too dangerous because people are too violent in the pro-life movement. People are too hostile. There's, you know, there's too much of a threat to our members if, you know, the if this material is leaked. And we cannot allow that to be associated with our cause. We just can't. And, you know, I'm thinking about, as you and I, you know, try to provide some guidance and some wisdom to those who haven't maybe thought these things through, like you and I have had the opportunity to, Brianna. I think about God's words in the book of Jude about how, you know, of some have compassion, it says at the end of the letter, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, our part, as you said, is to speak the truth in love. There's no job description for the assistant Holy Spirit. I mean, we
right.
have to be.
We make terrible Holy Spirits. We really do.
We really do.
What we have to remember is, you know, the serpent is and the enemy is still deceiving women, still deceiving people. From way back in the garden in Genesis 3, you know, Eve said, the serpent deceived me. And for a lot of women, for all women that have had abortion, but even for the ones that that say that they don't regret it, you know, the serpent has deceived them too. And that's what we have to realize. You know, we are not the Holy Spirit, but they have been deceived. And the Holy Spirit, if we pray for them and we love them in grace and truth, we'll bring them to that. But that's like just like you said, that's not our job. I mean, what we can say is the world is not a better place because of abortion. You know, it's created a world in where you're almost expected to abort if you're pregnant at an inopportune time. And a friend here, Carrie Earle, who is our VP over our public policy area, she has also been forgiven for abortion as well. And she said, you know, it's created a society in which it's easier to push women to have an abortion rather than to accommodate them and their needs as mothers. And it feels like your only choice if you want to keep your place in school or the workforce. And so that's what these women are fighting for. They're fighting for the choice because they feel like it's a choice like any other choice. But really the truth is that choice is not empowerment for women. That's bondage. Because we know that they are being bonded to the evil that is happening in these horrific procedures to these innocent preborn lives. And so it is our job to advocate in such a way that doesn't turn off someone. I would rather bring someone to Christ, and I don't have to worry about what happens when I bring them to Christ because it's all going to get worked out in the wash. I mean, it really is. And so
amen.
I guess
amen.
That's my encouragement here is that we know that that choice is not empowerment. We know that that choice is bondage. But we as a church need to be creating the culture and the society that we want to truly empower these women. We need to support these moms in these hard times. We need to come alongside them when they choose life and not just be happy when they choose life and then on to the next, but take support of that mom. What does she need? Why does she feel so confined to make that decision? And then assist her, wrap around her and that child that you have now advocated for. That is the whole life pro-life ethic that we're talking about.
Amen. Brianna Stensrud is our guest. She's Focus on the Family's Director of Sanctity of Life and Community Care. And if you want to know more about Brianna's work, please just go to cradlemyheart.org. We'll have links there for you to be able to access all of the resources that Focus on the Family has put together to bring women who have experienced abortion the hope, the healing, the mercy, the truth that each one of us needs to have. I so appreciate this part of Focus's outreach because it's helped me personally in the early going when I was first receiving my healing. And I know, Brianna, that, you know, as we talk about this, I mean, I think that one of the things that's so important is what you said, that, you know, the woman who has had an abortion matters just as much as the child who has been lost. She may not believe that in the short term, because the failure, the personal failure, the feeling of cowardice, the knowing that you have shirked a tremendous responsibility that God placed in you, is so big. You may not even accept and embrace your own importance after abortion. And if the world is telling you that, you know, your worst fears about yourself are absolutely true and you will be rejected. That's just, of course, not God's way and never is going to lead to anybody's healing or becoming pro-life. I mean, I'm the testimony. People can change, but it happened through love. It happened through acceptance, and it happened through truth. And one of the things that, you know, I have done in the meantime is I have attended the March for Life. I have gone to Washington, D.C., and it struck me the first time that I was there that the women, it felt to me, just as an outside observer, like the women were the missing piece. It was all about the rights of the unborn, which I am absolutely on board with. But, of course, we can't ever reach that child to uphold their rights unless we can somehow first reach the woman. And so I think that, you know, if I want you to just talk about some of the things that Focus is doing in the Sanctity of Life area that folks might not be aware of, including this outreach at the annual March for Life.
Yeah. So Focus on the Family, one of our pillars at our ministry is advocacy for children and really the dignity and sanctity of every human life. And that does include the mother of the child. That does include the father of that child. That includes the family that would have wrapped around that child or does wrap around that child. And so we've got resources at focusonthefamily.com/pro-life, ways that you can be an advocate, resources that you can give to your pastor to help him preach from the pulpit about these issues. But one of the things that we're really excited about that's coming up in January on the 21st and 22nd is an event called Evangelicals for Life. And we're partnering with Dr. Russell Moore with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission to put on an event for evangelicals and to call us all to this pro-life space and get equipped and really inspired on how to be an advocate for life, how to really speak into those spaces and do that well and with honor and do that in a gospel-centric way. So we're going to have, obviously, our president, Jim Daly, Dr. Russell Moore, our VP of Sanctity of Life, Kelly Rosati, as well as David Platt and many others that will be speaking into how do we really shift the focus and how do we really speak life from our movement into the culture when it comes to pro-life issues. I mean, I think everyone's asking. They've seen the videos. They've watched them all over social media. And the question is, what can I do? Wow, I had no idea. And the answer is get equipped to be a voice for life and do that in a setting of where you can trust that it's going to be gospel-centric, where you know that you're going to get the right tone, you're going to get the right information to be spot on to reach those, not just to save lives, but also to save souls. Because we're talking about, I feel like it's the same thing when you're talking to a woman who has apparent no regret for her abortion. You're also, it's like talking to someone who has no understanding of why they need Christ in their life. And like I said earlier, once we introduce them to Christ and what their need is, everything gets worked out in the wash. Everything gets worked out with the Holy Spirit. And so we don't have to take on that role. We just have to love them where they're at. We need to know the facts. We need to know how to advocate for each of those big areas of the pro-life movement, from the preborn all the way to the end of life. And at Evangelicals for Life on January 21st and 22nd, you're going to get equipped by top speakers on how to do that. And if you can't attend live in Washington, D.C. on the 21st and 22nd, churches have a free simulcast option, and you can also live stream it on your individual device as well for free. So there's some several options there. So if you go to evangelicals.life, that website, you'll be able to either register to attend live or register for a live stream or a church simulcast.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much for helping us to take a deeper look at the Shout Your Abortion trend and really, I hope, gain a new perspective about what's really going on in the hearts of those who participated, whether as someone who is unapologetic after abortion or whether as someone who is outraged that anybody would be unapologetic. There needs to be this middle space. There needs to be not middle in terms of not taking a stand, but there needs to be a place of grace where those who have already suffered this problem and this sin in their lives can find their redemption. And we can't ever hope to accomplish that if our words, if our attitude, if our own hearts are hard toward them. We need to allow our hearts to be broken and to allow ourselves to just remain patient as God does his work of restoration, because we know that he will. Brianna, thanks so much for being our guest. Tell me just the best way for people to get in touch if they want to, or learn more if they want to take part in the Evangelicals for Life event coming up in January of 2016.
Yeah, so January 21st and 22nd in Washington, D.C. For more information, you can go to evangelicals.life, or you can always go to focusonthefamily.com/pro-life and get more information about that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being our guest. We really appreciate it.
And thank you so much for your time, and thank you for all that Cradle My Heart does.
Now stay with us as we continue the live portion of our program for our Faith Radio listeners at 800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
And good evening, and thank you so much for making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your weekend this time out. It is the 18th of October, and we're really pleased that you're able to join us for this live portion of the broadcast. And we're here for you at 1-800-811-3003 if you would like to respond to the conversation just completed with our guest for tonight's broadcast, Brianna Stensrud of Focused on the Family. Shout your abortion. The hashtag has been out there, I think, since September 21st is when it actually started. And I think on Facebook alone, there were over 1,000 entries using the hashtag. And, of course, it was a Twitter trend, so that's where you're going to see the predominance of the tweets about it. What do you think? 1-800-811-3003. What's your reaction as you listen to this? Are we to a point where you no longer need to whisper about abortion, but we can talk openly about it and without shame, regardless of what the circumstances of your abortion may or may not have been? 1-800-811-3003. I think Brianna Stensrud had so many good things to say about this, but I'm really curious about what your reaction is. You know, those who are in the pro-life cause, if you will, reacted strongly. And as we mentioned in our conversation, you know, some were less than kind toward those who were tweeting unapologetically, tweeting unrepentantly about it. What do you think? 1-800-811-3003. Want to share your story? Of course, that's one of the big reasons why we are here, preventing abortion, helping those it hurts. It helps to tell our stories. And this is a safe place. I hope that you understand from our conversation with Brianna Stensrud that our policy here is that Jesus paid it all. So you will not find condemnation from us. 800-811-3003 is our number. There's something else, too, that we could talk about, though, that has caused a lot of uneasiness for a lot of us in pro-life mission, and that is the blessing of an abortion facility this week by the Religious Council for Reproductive Choice. And they are a group of clergy, some from mainstream denominations, that hold that the moral agency of women means that abortion is simply a matter of conscience. No one can declare it a sin. No one can say objectively that it's wrong. Reverend Laura Young is the executive director of the Columbus, Ohio, Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, and she wrote an editorial about the blessing of an abortion facility. The headline, Keeping Open a Sacred Space for Those Who Choose Abortion. And she says women who have had abortions are being attacked at a religious level. The faith community, she says, then has a moral obligation to heal those spiritual wounds. Is that what happens? Is that what happens? That's not what happened with me. No one in my church knew about my abortion for the longest time, first of all because I had strayed from the church and I was not walking with the Lord. I did not understand the most basic things about what it meant to actually be a Christian. But I knew in my heart of hearts that what I had done was grievously wrong, grievously sinful. Even though it was a desperate choice, it was, yes, desperately selfish. There was no one in a church saying to me, Kim, what you specifically did was wrong. My heart condemned me. And yet, she's positing that the church is wounding women with the truth that abortion is sinful. What do you think of that? 1-800-811-3003. Here's her rationale. She goes on to write that with ever-present assaults on reproductive freedom and silence from pro-choice clergy and congregants, women are left bleeding on the Jericho Road with shockingly few Good Samaritans stopping to bind them up. Well, that's not true. Post-abortion ministry is happening in the pregnancy help centers all over America. And much of it has moved into churches through Surrendering the Secret and other curricula that have that vision of healing happening in the church. It's a slow move because women are reluctant to bring that truth out in church, just as any of us would be reluctant to bring out one of the worst decisions and mistakes of our lives. So I disagree with her right there. But then she goes on to say, the majority of people of faith in this country, 7 out of 10 Americans, believe abortion must remain safe and legal. She gives no backing for that statistic, and it is out of step with the latest polling that I've seen. She says, yet in a country founded on religious freedom, conservative anti-abortion legislators with enormous resources and influence from the religious right are passing hundreds of laws restricting contraception and abortion care. This is, in effect, legislating one dominant religious view. Some people of faith might not choose an abortion for themselves, but they understand it cannot be outlawed without devastating consequences for women. Many religious people are pro-faith, pro-family, and pro-choice. Before we go any further, you have to understand that from a pro-life apologetic, what this reverend is doing is begging the question, which means she is assuming something that makes her case advance, but it's not. But her assumption is unproven and untrue, and she's not argued for it either. By saying that devastating consequences will result for women if abortion is outlawed. Well, if abortion is not outlawed, devastating consequences will continue to happen to preborn children. She doesn't mention them in her opinion. She goes on to say, virtually all people have a story of our own or know of our mothers or grandmothers or daughters or sisters or cousins or friends' abortion. 1 in 3 women in this country will terminate a pregnancy in her lifetime. By the way, very surprising piece in Washington Post, of all places, the last couple of weeks, stating that, 1 in 3 statistic is not reliable. They gave it 2 Pinocchios, which is, you know, it's their version of the truth meter. And they said it was based on Guttmacher projections, which were made a number of years ago, and that it's more likely the case that it's at best 1 in 5 or 20% of American women. So I think that's important to note, too. But she says 1 in 3 women in this country will terminate a pregnancy in her lifetime, some including State Representative Teresa Feder during the heartbeat bill debate in the Ohio House, are sharing their personal experience in an attempt to stop the abortion bans, stop the silence, end the stigma. These stories can be freeing and healing to others. As people of faith, are we not called to offer spiritual healing? Yes, we are. But we are also called to speak the truth that sets people free, which is the basis of our healing. It's not simply a matter of conscience. It breaks the commandment against killing. It breaks the prohibition against the shedding of innocent blood. And to me, it is so troubling when a religious leader leads people astray. She says, consider the effect unrelenting anti-abortion messages have on a young girl sitting in a church pew, hearing from her spiritual leader that she has fallen short of the glory of God or is going to hell because she chose to terminate a pregnancy. Consider a mother, a churchgoer all her life, escorting her 16-year-old daughter to clinic doors, shielding her from religious people screaming she is murdering her baby. Is that loving God and your neighbor as yourself? Well, truth and love and speaking with grace, speaking the truth in love, as the scriptures say, being filled as Jesus was with grace and truth, is our model. But if someone fails to live up to that model in the way that they say something, it doesn't change the truth that indeed abortion is killing, that indeed we do risk life apart from God eternally if we are not reconciled to Him after an abortion. And to fail to warn someone of that beforehand and tell them that it's permissible morally and in God's economy is the worst malpractice I think a religious leader could commit. 800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. I know we have listeners who are in pro-choice denominations. If you disagree, please, I welcome your call. I welcome you to help me out with preaching that you've heard on this. 800-811-3003 is our number. It's a toll-free call, 1-800-811-3003. She says, God is with you when the pregnancy is conceived. God is with you when you see the positive sign on the pregnancy test. God is with you when you decide you cannot carry that pregnancy to term. God is with you when you tell a loved one you must seek an abortion. God is with you when you schedule your appointment. God is with you when you see the heartbeat flickering on the ultrasound screen. God is with the medical professionals who perform the procedure. God is always with you. We say, Emmanuel, God is with us. Therefore, everything we do is moral. Therefore, nothing is sinful because God is always with us. It's... God loves women who have had abortions, she concludes by saying. God loves us all. Well, of course He does. Of course He does. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't love the children who are being slaughtered as well. And you, if you know me, you know my story. I speak not out of condemnation, but out of experience. And I'm here to tell you that women do not experience stigma because of society. Women experience stigma because of our conscience. 1-800-811-3003. And you can shout your abortion for some period of time, but there will come a time when you will have to reckon it out with God. It's just the way it is. I didn't set it up that way. And... maybe you hear the frustration in my voice. I'm not frustrated with you. I'm frustrated with leaders who are failing in their calling. It's their job to share this difficult truth with you. That God's love sometimes is difficult to obey. 800-811-3003. And when we fall short, yes, there is mercy. But we must not presume on His grace. Heading into something that He tells us not to do. Not all choices are moral. 1-800-811-3003. Tell me what you think about this group of clergy going to bless an abortion clinic. And the premise for this is that, well, God is with us and God loves us, and no one dare say anything else. No one dare think anything else. All we need to do is accept every choice from every woman. Reverend Laura Young is the writer of the opinion piece. Appears on the Cleveland.com website. We'll have it linked on our Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/cradlemyheart. Share your thoughts with us, 1-800-811-3003. Join us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion, Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion, Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks for being with us tonight. We're glad that you're here. I'm really excited to bring news about a new pro-life film that's going to be available soon. Actually, there are a couple that are on my radar that I'm excited about. First is Allison's Choice, a film about life. And we've got that linked again at our Facebook page. And it's being produced by the veteran actor Bruce Marciano. He played Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe, one of the Bible stories that was brought to life in film a number of years ago. And so he's raising funds to produce the film. The film is complete, so now he's seeking a distributor. So he played Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, but he is acting as producer, screenwriter of Allison's Choice and hoping that it really changes many lives. And so he's looking for a film distributor. And if his efforts at fundraising to finish the film are indication of the success that it's potential has here, a distributor is probably not far behind. He says he's been thinking of it for many years, 15 years as an actor. He thought if he ever had the chance to produce a film that would be about babies at risk in an abortion facility in hopes of changing the hearts of their moms and dads and saving their precious little lives, he said he wanted to make such a film. And he knows that, a pro-life Christian film isn't necessarily a Hollywood recipe for success at the box office, as he says, but that's not what matters to him. He says, for me, there's no greater human tragedy than this thing we call abortion. You can take all the guns off the street, stop all the wars, and feed all the poor, and still the blood of innocent babies is shed in the thousands every day. And, when I tell you that a day of reckoning will come, for many of us women who made the choice for abortion, there was a moment of reckoning right before the abortion occurred. I know that was true for me. And as we told stories of women who experienced God's healing after abortion with a short feature that I produced about 10 years ago called Life Redeemed, so many women that I interviewed and who shared their stories with me described the same thing. A moment when we were given a pause, a chance to stop and to turn around and to leave. There were probably many moments in my case, but one was unforgettable. And that's what this film, Allison's Choice, depicts. What happens and goes through the mind of a young woman when she's given that chance? How will it play out for her? One of the unique aspects of this film is the role of God in the flesh. Marciano says that the personification of God in this film was a way to bring a visual to the physically invisible but real role that God plays in these scenarios. He says, in all the discussion about abortion, my thought was, well, where is God in all of this? What is he doing in the midst of it all? And he said, the answer to me was simple. He's passionately pleading with every mom sitting in every clinic to not do what she's planning to do. He's pleading in her heart and mind to save her baby's life. This brings me to tears because on the one hand, you have an enabler who's telling women, God is with you everywhere. Therefore, don't let anyone tell you that what you've done is wrong in taking the life of your preborn child, Reverend Laura Young, from the Reproductive Choice crowd, a religious coalition for reproductive choice. And on the other hand, you have this filmmaker saying, where is God in the midst of this? He's pleading in her heart and mind to save her baby's life. Does he forgive us if we fail to listen? He does, because that's who he is. He's merciful. But, We can't escape the consequences. We may be forgiven and we may live forgiven, but we cannot escape the consequences, which are ongoing. In Allison's Choice, there's a scene where God breaks down weeping because of what's happening to my babies, as God says, and it's not that far-fetched. This is Bruce Marciano saying, one of our actresses has a son who lives today. She ran out of a clinic at the last second. Also, the lead actress's mother contemplated aborting, but didn't. And one of our crew members, he said, told me that his son was born because his girlfriend ran out of the clinic at the last second. So you see, Allison's Choice is actually a true story. How I wish that I had listened. Marciano has big dreams for the film, even though he knows that making big money might not be in the cards. But he says lives are more important than the dollar. So what he wants to do is wants to see this film being shown one-on-one at a pregnancy center with a woman who's making that decision before she ever gets to the abortion facility, wants to see it handed out in counseling sessions, on campus outreaches, screened at high schools and colleges. In other words, he wants to see it reaching young men and young women right where they are. And so I wish them Godspeed with it. I'm really, really excited about seeing this one myself. It's called Allison's Choice, and that one's, we've got this story from, I was reading from Live Action News, which is covering it on their website this week in my reporting here, and we've got it linked at our Facebook page, too. The other film that I believe opened this week, but I haven't seen it beyond the trailer, is called Hush. And the premise here is a couple of documentary filmmakers didn't know whether they were truly pro-life or pro-choice, so they set out to listen to experts on all sides of the question. And Hush, the film that resulted, says, we are now pro-information. And what they found was that on the pro-choice side, information is routinely and regularly suppressed. And information that is brought to light by those on the pro-life side is routinely and regularly dismissed and suppressed. It's called junk science. It's called extremism. It's labeled. It's censored. It's not even covered. So when we get some information about the release of Hush and a little bit more about that film, we'll be linking to that too, because I just think it's so important that we would be able to see the truth. Someone said America won't end abortion until America sees abortion. And I think that these two films really put a face. Oh, and if you're not a supporter yet of the Gosnell movie, that is now actively being, they're working on the actual filming of it. And so that one is, Dean Cain is going to play, I think, the prosecutor or maybe one of the people on the legal team. And they've got a great group of very seasoned actors and producers and writers, and they're not going to release that one as a feature film. They see it as a made-for-television movie so that more people will be able to see it, and they're still crowdfunding that one at Indiegogo. So Gosnell movie is on Facebook too. You should check them out. These stories are the stories that bring glory to God. You know, everyone has a story, and this is what was so striking to me. Shut Your Abortion is nothing new. There's been the 1 in 3 campaign. There have been efforts before to tell your story in a way that would reduce the stigma. This is not a new campaign, Shut Your Abortion. But what is so striking about this is that when you read a story about someone who was desperate, or someone who had a good reason to abort a child and did, and then simply moved on and went on and had a good life, there's a missing piece. And you read a story like that and you say, where's the glory? Is a good life for you enough to justify having built that on the blood of an unborn child? No, only a story of God. Only a story of His redemption. Only a story of His restoration of a broken heart reflects the glory of who He is, and a story that brings dignity and worth to everybody involved. My friend, if you have had an abortion, I don't care if you ever shout it. I don't care if you keep it to yourself for the rest of your life. I hope you don't. I hope you'll share it with someone you can trust who can reassure you of God's mercy and love for you. But I pray that you will allow it to become the story of God's love in your life, not simply the story of what you did or even what was done to you, because we know in so many cases, if not the majority, abortion is something that we didn't choose, but something that was chosen for us. Rest in His love, rest in the truth of His mercy, and seek your peace with others. It's there for you. God is no respecter of persons, and if He did it for me, He'll do it for you. I'm Kim Cattola, saying thanks for listening.